ETC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Ben?
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show, 14th of September. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
You know what? I'm doing pretty good, but I got to tell you, that eight-week-old puppy is wearing me out.
I warned you before you got him.
But you know what? It's a good kind of getting worn out.
Okay.
You know, because he is a cute little sucker. Had him out in the backyard for a while today. We went on a walk all the way around the block, which is pretty good for an eight-week-old puppy, you know, to be on a leash and go all the way around the block. But out in the backyard, he is digging a hole towards the center of the earth.
Maybe he's trying to get to China.
Could be. But, you know, he goes out there and he digs and he gets all dirty and filthy, and then you got to clean him off before you can bring him in the house. And in here in the office, he wants to chew on the electrical cords.
Oh, that's always fun.
Well, he's either gonna take down my internet or he's going to electrocute himself. One or the other. I don't know which is going to happen first.
Well, you've got to basically puppy-proof the house as far as those cords are concerned.
I'll tell you, there's no way to do it, though, because the cords, the plug-in for the cords is not directly under my desk. And so, there's just enough space there between the desk and where they plug in that, you know, he grabs onto that and he pulls on that. I've got one of those multi-strip outlet things, and he pulls that out from under the desk. And
here's a little tidbit. Put something in front of it.
Well, I'm looking for something that I can put in front of it.
That's what we did when my doggy was a puppy. We used to put either a book in front of it, a box in front of something. And after a while, they just give up.
Well, I can't put something like a box there because right between my desk and where that outlet is the floor register. So I can't cover that up. You know, so what I'm looking for is a piece of plywood that I can slide kind of behind the desk that sticks out and covers. He's wearing me out.
Good luck finding plywood. COVID, is the excuse for no plywood around.
Well, all I need is a piece probably 2 foot by 5 foot. So I figure that shouldn't cost me any more than a couple of $1,000 if I can find one. I mean,
if you can find it.
That's just it. Well, folks, look, aside from the puppy wearing me thin, we got a heck of a show planned for you tonight. We got a couple of great segments coming up. Diane, you've got the unprotected truth tonight.
Oh, yeah. They're lying to you, folks.
Well, I find that shocking.
Yeah, and I'm going to prove it to you. Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with the unaffordable cost of repeating history.
Okay.
So, a couple of great segments coming up for you. You don't want to miss any of that. Let's start, though, with quick hitters tonight, because there's some rather interesting stuff going on. Joe Biden was in Idaho yesterday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's there talking to a bunch of wildland firefighters and wildland fire crew managers and things. And it's all going pretty well. It's, you know, he spent most of the time talking about himself. I'm surprised he didn't claim to have been a firefighter at some point in his life. I mean, hell, a couple of months ago, he was a truck driver.
True.
You know, but all of a sudden, it kind of got to a point where one of the guys said, "Can I ask you a question?" Biden said, "Sure." And the guy asked a question. Well, Biden starts to ramble into an answer, and Diane, what happens?
He got cut off. They cut the feed off. And if that doesn't say what you and I have been saying for months and months now, Biden isn't calling the shot. Folks, he's got a string puller. We believe it's Obama. But no matter who it is now extremely obvious he is not allowed to act as a president would act. He is acting as he is told to act.
Well, you know, it's odd because just a few days ago, I think it was late last week, In a White House press briefing, somebody asked Circle Back Psaki, you know, why Biden doesn't, you know, come out and answer some of these questions. And she literally said, you know, we usually advise him not to take questions. Well,
yeah.
For God's sakes, the man is the president, supposedly. And mm-hmm. yet, you know, oh no, we don't want him answering any questions. Well, that became very evident yesterday, and it's not the first time it's happened.
No, it happened in March. They did the same thing when he was asked a question, and he said, "I would, you know, be happy to take questions," and all of a sudden, the feed was cut. They don't want him to speak on his own for one of two reasons. Either he has no idea, you know, what he's saying, or number two, he's not going to follow the script.
Well, I think it's a combination of the two.
Probably. Probably.
You know, somebody is sitting back there monitoring all of this, and mm-hmm. when he goes to answer a question, it's like, code red. You know, I mean, and you know, pull the plug. You know, of course, you know, When you're Biden, if you actually heard somebody yell "pull the plug," you might get a little worried. But you know, they just won't allow him to answer questions.
Right, and it's her staff, it's Psaki's staff that often advises him not to take questions. Here it is: the press secretary is telling the president not to answer questions. So why is he even having press conferences?
Right. I mean, just go out there, read what's in the teleprompter, and then run for the door, sir. That's all you
exactly.
have to do. I mean, that's
exactly.
what it comes down to.
I mean, it's very sad to watch because this man, he obviously is not well. He's hopped up on something to get him through his things. His family obviously doesn't care. His string pullers love it, but you know what? They might not love it when certain things do start getting exposed that they're not going to be able to just simply ignore. And some of those things involve COVID. Some of those things involve members of the cabinet, his advisors. I mean, there's things going on, but they're sort of blocked with getting the messages out.
It's crazy.
It is. And I think they're also afraid that one day Biden's going to say in a moment of lucidity that, wait a minute, I don't agree with this. Why do I have to say this?
You know, that's part of the problem. And I've alluded to it in several commentaries, they don't know what he's going to say, and he might just slip up and tell the truth about
exactly.
something. You don't know what,
exactly.
but, you know, and they can't risk that.
No, not at all.
You know,
he might turn around and go, "Hey, Barack, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to say that."
Yeah, I mean, holy crap. Yeah, it was pretty evident yesterday. And, of course, the video of that is making the rounds because, quite frankly, it's funny.
It's pathetic.
I mean, he's
part
just talking
me,
away and poof, gone.
Really, it's strange, but part of me actually feels bad for him because I know I've seen dementia firsthand, and I know it's not the person's fault. However, in this case, this is a man that his family knew was not mentally stable enough to be president, and they allowed it. That's the part of me that feels bad for him.
Well,
as far as what he's done, he's you know, next to Jimmy Carter and Obama, he's right up there as the worst in this country has ever had.
I'll tell you what, I don't feel bad for him, not even in the least, because at some point, before it got as bad as it is now, at some point he knew he was slipping and he knew he should not be in any kind of a position of power. And yet he continued.
He could know that all he wants, but if the family pushes him and he's not mentally astute enough to say no, you got to put a lot of this blame on his wife.
Well,
real piece of work to allow her husband to make an absolute fool of himself on the world stage.
Well, but Diane, she probably doesn't know the difference. He's been making a fool of himself on the world stage for 47 years.
You know, we love to say that, but not really. He was respected at one time, pre-Obama. So you can't really say that. The man is mentally and physically ill. His wife, she's a real hustler, and she wanted that to be first lady so bad. She doesn't give a damn about the country. She's got the position she wants. Her husband is being controlled, and she's happy as a clam. I blame a lot of this on her.
Well, I do, too, as far as continuing it. But I'm just saying, at some point, he knew it was sliding, and he should have gotten out then. Now, and that was a long time ago. But anyway. Next in the quick hitters, apparently, and Diane, I know this is going to come as a shock to you because it certainly did to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never saw this coming. I never mentioned it in a commentary. You never mentioned it in an op-ed. I mean, not once in all this time that COVID has been going on did either one of us ever even think of this, but apparently the official number of COVID hospitalizations is just a wee bit off.
Yeah, it's off by a good 50%+.
Like okay. I said, a wee bit.
Yeah, like we said right from the beginning, anyone who presents at the hospital is suddenly positive for COVID. There might be people in the hospitals, you know, suffering from COVID, but they're not there because of COVID. They're there because of serious pre-existing conditions. They lied about our numbers in Florida and DeSantis took them on. Okay, COVID is a bunch of nonsense. Is it a real thing? Yes, it's a real disease. But as you say, it's the uncommon cold, the uncommon flu. Isn't it odd that when COVID came around, nobody has the flu anymore?
No.
Nobody has the common cold.
No.
Everybody has COVID.
Well, I mean, a guy jumps out of an airplane without a parachute, bounces off an overpass, and gets run over by a semi-truck. Poor sucker died of COVID.
Right, because COVID made him jump out of the plane.
You know, I mean, this is what it's gotten down to. Now, there was a research company that surveyed, I think it was about 100 VA hospitals, and they mm-hmm. dug in deep, and they found out the truth. like you said, most of the people were there with COVID, but not because of COVID.
Right. Most of the people that were there who had the COVID had mild to asymptomatic cases. And they, you know, oh no, you've got COVID, you've got COVID. There's a very simple way to tell about the breathing. COVID is mostly, like we all know, a respiratory illness that affects the lungs. If your O2 saturation is above 94%, chances are you don't have COVID.
Well, like you say, it's a respiratory thing that affects the lungs, which is exactly why when this all started a year and a half ago, people ran out and rid the Western Hemisphere of toilet paper.
Exactly.
But
I mean,
you know, we know why this happens.
It's ridiculous.
Though. Well, we know why this happens with the hospital, so Diane, because you know, for over a year, yeah, they got more money. If they had COVID patient, they got more money from the federal government. So anybody that came in with anything, they labeled it COVID, and there you go.
COVID. And folks, it's now been found out that a lot of the tests that people take, even if they don't have it, they're going to come back positive. Okay, we're not saying COVID isn't real. It is real. However, what was needed from day one was an antidote, not a vaccine, because the vaccines don't work. And I'm going to tell you why in a little while.
Well, and, you know, I go back. I talked about this in an op-ed a few weeks ago, and I wish I could remember what country this guy was from. It was some African country, I think. The president of the country got a little suspicious about these COVID tests, and they had ordered a whole bunch of them. And he took two of the brand new COVID tests. One he tested on a goat, and the other one he tested on a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And they both came back positive.
Right. Right. And now you can go into the pharmacy and you can buy COVID tests and do the tests at home, and you get your results within minutes. Don't you think those tests have been skewed? So no matter what you put on the swab, it's going to come back positive.
I think there's a good chance of it. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
I mean, yeah, people do have COVID. Nobody's saying they don't. Nobody's saying it's not real. But the thing is, it's over exaggerated.
Well, I mean, there's big money in over exaggerating.
And worse than that, there's a political agenda for exaggerating it.
Oh, say it isn't so.
That's the most important thing. If it wasn't for COVID, President Trump would still be in office.
Say it isn't so.
Say it isn't so. It's so.
It's so. The Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, who I think is a Blinken idiot, for the last 2 days, he's been testifying about the Afghan situation. And, Diane, he's just doing nothing but playing the blame game.
Blaming everybody but Biden, blaming everybody but the generals, blaming everybody, you know, but himself. Everybody gets the blame. Trump is the main reason for this because he made a deal with the Taliban. Let's stop that right now. Trump made a deal with the Taliban. That's true. But Trump also told the Taliban we were not fully pulling out.
Right.
And there's a big difference there.
And it was conditions-based.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of the things Blinken said yesterday was we inherited a timeline, we did not inherit a plan. Well, I beg to differ because the timeline that you inherited, you idiot, came with a plan. And
exactly.
That plan was if the Taliban doesn't do what they're supposed to do, if one American gets harmed, they will be obliterated. If they fail to follow through on their end of the deal, there is no deal. That was the plan.
Well, you know what? 13 Americans did get obliterated. So they should be, you know, dealt with at least 13 times.
Well, I mean, you know, look, we bombed an aid worker and seven kids. Doesn't that kind of make up for it?
I guess in Biden's warped, you know, mental capacity and all his flunkies, maybe. But, you know, here's something I don't think people realize, and this is important. The people in Biden's cabinet, folks, are Obama holdovers.
Again, I'm shocked.
Shocked? This is not the Biden administration. This is Obama's de facto third term in office.
Well, I'll tell you, though, Blinken today cleared a lot of things up. You have to give him some credit because he did clear a lot of things up. You know, he was being hammered today about the Taliban and the brutality of the Taliban, the videos that are coming out showing that brutality, showing that barbaric nature that they have. And he cleared it up by telling members of Congress today, and I quote, "We've published a resolution advising the Taliban what steps they need to take in accordance with the international community." Well, if that doesn't solve the problem, I don't know what will.
The Taliban is sitting back laughing at us.
We've published a resolution? What?
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody cares about what you put on paper, period. What the world cares about is strength, keeping your promises, standing by your allies, and not doing what was just done. We left, I don't care what anybody says, we didn't leave in military defeat. We were not defeated militarily. It was worse. We were left in a moral defeat.
Terrible.
It was like we left the way we came in. The Taliban is in control again. The people where 9/11 originated from are now back in control of the country, worse than ever. Nothing has changed with them. And we're out of there, and we've become a laughing stock on the world stage and a pariah. We left Americans behind, and we left allies behind. This is what the Biden, Obama, or like you like to call him, O'Biden. This is what the O'Biden administration has done. We are a laughing stock on the world stage.
I call him O'Biden. I call him Obama bin Biden. I can't
that's
even
right.
say
Obama
it.
Obama bin Biden. Right. Obama but, bin Biden.
But Diane, you're missing the whole gist of this thing. We published a resolution advising the Taliban what steps they need to take. My next question to Blinken would have been, or what? And I'm sure his answer would have been something akin to, or we'll send him a strongly worded letter.
I mean, no, or he'd say, we'll white out certain areas. What do you want us to say?
It's just so stupid. I mean, every time I watch Blinken, I can feel my IQ dropping. It's gotten that bad. And finally, Senator Menendez is now threatening to subpoena the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, because Lloyd Austin is refusing to testify before Congress about Afghanistan.
Well, do you think maybe there's a few things they're hiding that they don't want, you know, being pulled out of them?
Well, I think Lloyd Austin has kind of gotten himself between a rock and a hard place here. If he testifies, he either tells the truth and blows the doors off the thing, or he lies and runs the risk in a couple of years of being brought up on charges of lying to Congress.
I have a feeling to save his own butt and his own career, he might sing. And that's what they're afraid of.
It's odd that Bob Menendez is the one that is threatening to subpoena him.
Yeah, because he is a Democrat. That's
right.
True.
Right. You know, But I'm sure, you know, the fine print at the bottom of the subpoena is something like, just get your ass in here and lie your ass off.
True. However, there are a number of Democrats that are furious about the way this withdrawal happened. Whether they really care about this, or they care about the 2022, I don't know. But there are a number of them that have spoken out.
I might be getting too cynical about this thing, but I would almost guarantee you they don't really give a crap. It's all about 2022. This puts them in a horrible position going into the heavy part of the campaign season. This is going to be on people's minds, and they got to pretend like they care. But if they really cared, it would never have happened.
Well, I'm not going to go as far as to say no Democrats in Congress care. There are some Democrats in Congress who are ex-military, and a number of them have spoken out. I'm not going to go as far as to say every single Democrat is no good, because there are some that are JFK Democrats, that are Blue Dog Democrats. Not every Democrat is an AOC idiot, a Pelosi, you know, butt kisser. Not every single one. Remember, Tulsi Gabbard is a Democrat.
Yeah, I know. There's a handful. I get it. But yeah. I'm telling you, in the overwhelming vast majority of those liberal Marxist fools that occupy the left side of the aisle in Congress, they don't give a crap. Their concern is 2022. Yes, there are a handful, 3, 4, 5 here and there scattered about, that might actually give a crap. But in the overwhelming vast majority, no.
No, 2022 looms large for them. That's very true. But I'm not going to go as far as to say that no Democrat, that every single Democrat does not care what happened in Afghanistan. I will not go that far and say that. Well, because I really believe there are some that do.
Here's the way I view it as far as Democrats are concerned. The overwhelming vast majority of those in Congress, Democrats, I would trust as far as I could throw a grand piano. But there are a handful that I would trust as far as I could throw a spinet.
Okay. I'm not defending Democrats, but what I'm saying is there are some, especially Democrats that were in the military, that are not happy with what happened. Not every Democrat is a Marxist liberal. There are, like I said, a few Kennedy Democrats, Blue Dogs. They're few.
Oh, yeah, few and far between.
Right, but they're there.
Yeah, and like I've said, and I'll say it once more, the overwhelming vast majority. That does not mean all. That just means the overwhelming vast majority.
Yeah. Especially the ones, I'd say, from the West Coast.
Oh, my God. By the way, folks, we're kind of keeping an eye on things out in California, although we have a pretty good idea how that's going to turn out tonight.
Well, we know. Come on. The voter fraud, the early voting. They've been digging up cemeteries, getting signatures.
Oh, yeah.
We know. We knew from day one how that's going to turn out.
It's the only question is, what are the numbers going to be? That's it.
Right.
Watch
it be a landslide for Newsom.
Yeah, I know. That's... will they have an answer tonight, or is it going to take them another week like it did in November to get all the fraud counted upright. I mean, that's the only question we have.
That's
really
true. And, you know, they've got to, you know, bilk this for all it's worth. Somehow they'll blame it on Trump.
Oh, of course they will. Of course they will. You know, and you know, oddly enough, earlier today, Newsom, the governor out there in California, said that a vote for Larry Elder was a vote for racism and lack of diversity. Has he even seen Larry Elder?
I don't think so. Maybe he thinks he's a white guy with a tan.
Good Lord. Folks, look, we've gotten here to the end of the segment. We got to take a break, get a couple of station IDs in. But when we come back, Diane's going to be talking about the unprotected truth. And a little bit later, half an hour from now, I've got it with the unaffordable cost of repeating history. Folks, stay with us. There's plenty more on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and become a proud pod person.
Yes, and we're increasing our podcast numbers. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate our pod people. All right, Diane, you did something you haven't done in a long time. You took on COVID. unprotected truth.
You've got to admit there are two stories in the country now, Afghanistan and COVID. So you got to go back and forth between the two.
If they have a COVID outbreak in Afghanistan, we've got this thing covered.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Okay, the title of this is The Unprotected Truth. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, let's start with the fact that an undeniable truth is that no one can make a truly informed decision about anything unless they have the facts. Without facts, things one thinks of as truth are usually nothing but lies told. And more times than not, it's lies used to help push forward a political agenda, an agenda that sometimes is coupled with a monetary bonanza for a select few. And herein lies the case, I believe, regarding COVID-19, the actual disease itself, the vaccine, and deaths that should never have been. Let me explain. We all know COVID-19 is real. In fact, most of us know either someone who currently has the virus, has recovered from the virus, or unfortunately even has died from the virus. And while I'm sure many of us have lined up to be jabbed, thinking said jab would prevent us from getting sick, or at least help prevent a worst-case hospital scenario if we did get sick, others of us continue to refuse to put into our bodies a vaccine, which is still going through all important clinical trials, some of which will not be completed until 2023. And I personally fall into that latter category, for in no way will I put into my body any of the COVID vaccines currently available, even though to some small and quite limited degree, they might help to slow the spread of this horrific disease. So why exactly won't I submit to being jabbed? Because the fact remains that the jab does not and will not stop one from actually getting infected by the very disease the vaccine is supposed to prevent. And this unfortunately applies to all three of the COVID vaccines being used in our country today. The Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna vaccines, none, I repeat, none of which can actually stop the spread of COVID-19 dead in its tracks, which is the only way to truly bring this ongoing pandemic to an end. But before I get into that aspect in detail, let's first put this fact on the table by my saying that if you think any of these three vaccines now being advertised as being free are actually free, please know that you are horribly mistaken, for it's our collective taxpayer dollars that are paying for the vaccines to be produced as well as to be distributed. Simply, the government is using our monies to pay Big Pharma to produce what they, the powers that be, deem as the amount needed and maybe even to grease a few political palms in the process. Politics is a dirty game after all, something November 2020 had us all bearing witness to as unequivocal truth. Now, in regards to the actual medical aspects of the COVID vaccines, the fact is that while the overall premise of how a given vaccine works is sound in regards to its helping to prevent one from getting sick with the same viral infection over and over again, the truth, sadly, is that not all of the vaccines given protect one from getting the very disease said vaccine was targeted for, nor does it stop one from passing it along if one is asymptomatic. And this is now the case regarding COVID-19, because even if one is vaccinated against the nasty little gift from China, one can, as has been proven, still become infected. And correct, they're called breakthrough infections. They're being called, thus becoming sick, passing the virus along to others, or even succumbing to the very virus that they were supposedly vaccinated against.
Well, you know, it's really a matter of wordplay, word semantics, if you will. You know, the difference between what we're being told and what's actually true. And, you know, the game, I guess for lack of a better term, that's being played here relies on spinning the truth by kind of masking it, making people think one thing when something else is true. Like I said, word semantics. So where are we at with that right now?
Well, basically, why the word semantics? Because like with the flu vaccine, the COVID vaccines, while inducing protection from disease, do not necessarily protect one from actually becoming infected or from spreading, in this case, COVID to others. Now, while I'm not a doctor, nor do I pretend to be one, I'm sure those with the letters MD after their names will agree that the key issue regarding the vaccine and its supposedly protecting one against COVID-19 is a vastly different scenario than it's protecting one from getting infected by COVID-19 or by any of its now newly emerging variants. And why? Because again, like with today's flu vaccines, in order to become, I should say, in order not to become infected by COVID-19 or by its ever-changing and emerging above-stated variants. The vaccine one has been given must be what's called a sterilized vaccine, which none of the three COVID vaccines nor the current flu vaccines are. And while the current generation of vaccines might make its host's illness, as in the person now infected, less severe than it might have been sans vaccine, the fact remains that only a sterilized version of said vaccine will prevent the COVID virus from actually infecting a new host or allowing for a noticeable across-the-board reduction in the virus's spread. But what exactly is a sterilized vaccine? It's simply a vaccine that, after being received, allows one's own immune system to become strong enough to prevent the virus it's given for from ever entering one's body's cells and replicating itself, because immune cells within the body are now able to bind to the virus in places that prevent it from entering a cell and start making copies of itself. And some of these immune cells may produce actual what's called sterilizing antibodies, which are proteins that recognize other specific proteins and structures on the surface of pathogens, which could be viruses and or bacteria, thus being able to then render them harmless. But to achieve sterilizing immunity, your body needs to not only produce enough neutralizing antibodies, but to do so in the long term, which in turn leads to lifelong immunity. And again, none, I repeat, none of the three COVID vaccines being used in our country today are sterilized vaccines, and thus do not protect the virus from replicating itself, making its host sick, or prevent said host from infecting others, even if they are asymptomatic. And with vaccines that do induce sterilizing immunity, for example, the vaccines developed for the human papillomavirus, the HPV, which does stop the virus infection and spread in full, they're being difficult to produce due to the mode of any given virus's transmission, is why most vaccines used today do not and will not produce such lifelong immunity while greatly lowering spread. Now, in more common layman's vernacular, the fact is that to be a sterilized vaccine, a vaccine must actually prevent infection. Simply, if one never gets infected by a given virus, said virus never gets a chance to replicate, and thus you don't shed virus, meaning you cannot infect others. In turn, if you don't shed virus particles, in this case COVID virus particles, the likelihood of infection spread then ends with you. And Craig, that means you cannot pass the virus on nor cause a mutation in the virus itself, because you are now what's called sterile against the virus.
All right, so there's a lot of medical terminology involved in what you've said so far. You have cleared it up a little bit, but can you go even further? Can you break this down to a point where just about anybody outside of a liberal Marxist can understand it?
Yeah. Now, I know everything I said is a bit confusing, but to break it down even further, simply this means that if a vaccine, any vaccine, is not a sterilized vaccine, the virus it's being used against can still infect you, replicate itself, and thus allow you to infect others. So, does that vaccine then become basically useless? In a way, yes, it does. For to be a true vaccine, said vaccine must actually prevent infection and not just be used or touted as either a prophylactic measure in misplaced hopes of preventing an illness or as an adjunct therapy if one unfortunately does get sick, both of which are the propaganda Dr. Fauci and the CDC crew are still trying to sell we, the still unvaccinated, as truth. But no matter the hype surrounding the vaccine, the truth is and shall remain that one can still catch COVID-19 or whatever is the current variant du jour even after being jabbed, no matter that they might not even exhibit the outward symptoms of illness, nor will it prevent those unknowingly infected from shedding said virus and thus infecting others. And again, it's because only a sterilized COVID vaccine would be strong enough to induce the needed immune response that would prevent any viral particles that had entered one's body from replicating, thereby helping the much-needed cytotoxic T cells and non-neutralizing antibodies to become strong enough to prevent all who receive the vaccine from getting sick. And this is why more and more vaccinated people are now appearing as not only breakthrough cases, but ending up so seriously ill because they didn't present themselves for treatment until it was too late to save them. After all, they sadly brought into Fauci's hype that the jab was the end-all and be-all to the COVID pandemic. So the fact remains that all the COVID vaccines still in their current unsterilized form, again, the Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna vaccines, does not and will not allow for the aforementioned cytotoxic T cells and non-neutralizing antibodies to become strong enough to prevent all who receive it from getting infected and thus shedding even more virus. And Dr. Fauci knows this to be medical truth, as do other public health officials, as well as their knowing. That's why COVID cases are now increasing and why COVID will continue to come roaring back, just in different variations, continue to come roaring back simply because there is no, I repeat, no sterilized COVID vaccine in use today, nor will there be in the near future. And yet these folks still hold out hope that the currently on the market vaccines, even in their lacking said sterilizing immunity, can still slow down COVID's viral replication to such a degree that the number of those actually getting sick and shedding virus gets reduced just enough so that the masses continue to buy into the hype of being not only our them being not only our medical saviors, but that it's enough so that their Democrat cohorts hold on to power, thus allowing their medical and bureaucratic careers to survive intact. And with COVID continuing to be an all-around profitable dollar and cents business for the powers that be, the health, safety, and welfare of the American people will remain delegated to second or even third, fourth, or fifth place. And to that I say, case closed.
This is a really interesting op-ed because I guarantee you hardly anybody has ever heard of a sterilized vaccine.
Right. And we're not talking you dip something in alcohol and you sterilize something. That's not what sterilized means in this case.
That's what I do to my ice cubes.
Right, you sterilize them.
Sterilize them in alcohol. Yeah. But no, what I'm saying is I don't think hardly anybody outside of maybe the medical community has even heard the term sterilized vaccine. You know, most people, and here again, this gets into the word semantics. Before I get into that, let me just tell people where they can get this op-ed, because, folks, you need to share this. The more people understand this, the more people have this information, the more sense a lot of this crap will start to make of why they're doing what they're doing. Okay. You can get Diane's op-ed at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place you go, you can grab the link, read through it yourself, and share it. Share it everywhere you can. All right, so I was just going to bring up the word semantics situation with this, right? And I think where the word semantics really come into play here is with one simple word, vaccine. Most people, right, I think, hear the word vaccine, and they think, well, there you go. There's the silver bullet.
No.
You know? Well, here's the thing. And I haven't brought this up to you before, so I'm going to get your honest take on it now. if we're going to be honest about what these three quote-unquote vaccines are, wouldn't it be more accurate, maybe not 100% accurate, but more accurate to refer to them not as vaccines, but as serums?
It could be. You can call them serums. You can name them anything you want to name them. But the fact is, they are not sterilized vaccines. And people first have to get over the idea of what sterilized means. That's number one. Number two, there are actually very few sterilized vaccines. Number one, they are way too expensive to make. And number two, it does have to do with the mode of transmission. The HPV one was easy to sterilize because you can only get it a certain way through sexual contact. A vaccine that's fighting a disease that's airborne is harder to sterilize, but it can be done. It'll be costly, but it can be done.
It takes time too, right?
And it takes time. You don't rush a sterilized vaccine to market in under a year. President Trump had every good intention with this. Every good intention. But he listened to Fauci.
Well, that was a big mistake. Obviously, yes. That was a big mistake. So let me ask you this. Well, and I'm just going to take a wild shot at this, because honestly, I don't know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The smallpox vaccine, would that be sterilized vaccine?
It's more so than these on the market. There are a few breakthrough cases with smallpox. No one's going to say it's totally eradicated, because you do have places in the world where smallpox at, you know, one or two, three cases, whatever, rears its head. But it is more of a sterilized vaccine than the COVID vaccine will ever be.
Oh, that's kind of what I was thinking, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, because right now you hear a lot of people say, well, you know, look, we never reached natural immunity on smallpox. It had to do that with the vaccine. Well, there's a reason why the vaccine worked.
Right, because it first of all, the COVID virus, it was a bioengineered virus. Smallpox was a naturally occurring virus. That is a big difference. No one engineered smallpox. And
right.
Remember, smallpox started with cowpox and whatever. It was a naturally occurring virus. While COVID itself occurs naturally in nature, that lab engineered that virus, whether to be a bioweapon or whatever, it was engineered to become what has infected everybody. So that makes sterilization even harder, because you're not working with a naturally occurring virus. You're working with one that's been engineered to be something other than what it was in nature.
That's where gain of function comes in.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I still believe it was manipulated to be a bioweapon. China has population problems. I think it was probably going to be used to, you know, get rid of some of their people. Did they deliberately release it on the world? I don't know. I think part of it might have been doing to the fact that China got screwed by Trump and had a safe face. I don't know. But I do know this is an engineered virus. It is not, the vaccines are not sterilized immunity. And don't let the people fool you, folks, because most of the cases now are breakthrough cases. Because the vaccine did not, we who are not getting sick, or people that have gotten sick and recovered from it, there is some natural immunities already built up.
Right. You know, and we're learning more and more every day about just how much more effective natural immunity is.
Mm-hmm.
More effective than the you know, vaccines, quote unquote vaccines. And if you really want a case study of what's going on, Israel is the most vaccinated nation on earth. And right now they've got the most new cases.
Right. And they're breakthrough cases, folks.
Right. So that tells you right there something's wrong.
Right. And what people are not talking about, what Fauci has never talked about, is the cytotoxic T cells and non-neutralizing antibodies. Those are extremely important. And the viruses are not building them up. Those are the things that actually fight the disease.
If you get the virus, if you get the COVID, and you recover from the COVID, then you've got that.
Right. To some degree.
Yeah.
The people who never get the COVID, they have them to the most degree.
Yeah, it's, I think the word vaccine is what's fooling a lot of people. They hear the word vaccine, they think, well, there you go. That's it. That's the magic thing. You know, if you take the vaccine, you're good to go no matter what, but you're not.
Okay. Also, what they're forgetting too is most vaccines on the market today were tested for years and years.
Right.
This thing was rushed to market in under a year. People are dying from the vaccine. We're not talking, you know, getting a one-day reaction, an arm, or feeling, you know, yucky for a day or two. People are dying from the disease. I'm sorry, from the vaccine itself. It's not a major number, but it's happening.
It's there.
It's there.
You know?
And Biden now mandating for workers in you know, certain areas, they have to have this vaccine. What's going to happen when those people start dying?
Oh, well. Yeah. I mean, you know, collective shrug from the left.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Well, they should have had
given this vaccine more credence if it had been studied for 3 to 5 years before jabbing the first person.
What, you're not satisfied with the fact that it was tested on a Tuesday?
What, and distributed on a Thursday? No.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know. I mean, no. Like, folks, you got the more you know, the harder it is for the Faucis of the world to continue to lie to you.
Right.
You know, and that's what this particular op-ed is all about. It's getting that information out there so that you understand what's happening and you know when you're being lied to.
We're being lied to, folks. We're being lied to. Yes, some people really think this is going to prevent it. And if this vaccine was truly what what they claimed it was, the cases would be going down. They're going up.
Well, that's why I'm calling this not a vaccine, but a serum. You know, I think people are more wary when they hear the word serum than they are when they hear the word vaccine. They think vaccine, well, that's it. Boom. You're done. Take the vaccine. You're good to go. Serum,
and here's something else to
not
think.
So much. You know,
here's one fast thing to think about. You know, all those pictures you saw on TV of like Biden and Harris and this one and that one getting the vaccine.
Right.
How do you know they didn't get a saline solution jabbed into them?
You don't. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you see all these fully vaccinated, you know, your AOCs, your Bidens, your Harris. You see all these people, you know, fully vaccinated. I'm fully vaccinated. And yet they're wearing a mask and they're complaining because other people aren't vaccinated. So I know.
Right. Yeah, you got to wonder, folks, we've been had, in my opinion.
And we're continuing. We're continuing to be had.
Yeah, and again, the disease, when you get it, it's real. No one is saying it's not real, but it didn't have to come to this. We needed an antidote from day one, and no one has worked on an antidote. Little hit and misses in ivermectin, which I wrote about. Wonderful. It's helping a lot of people. But the Democrats, Fauci, Biden, they're all saying it's no good, it's no good, it's no good. because the people are surviving who take it.
Well, it must be good. I haven't seen a horse with COVID yet.
It was a cattle disease medicine, actually.
Well, no, around here they use it on cows and horses.
Yeah, it's also used in dogs, you know, and cats for certain parasites.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it is what it is. Folks, grab this op-ed, The Unprotected Truth, at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com and start sharing it around everywhere. With that, we got to take a break. Top of the hour, one segment to go. When we come back, I'm talking about the unaffordable cost of repeating history. Stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show once again. If you miss any part of it or you want to hear part of it again, just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and thanks to Podbean, there you are and there we are.
Yes.
Kind of nice the way that works out, isn't it?
Yeah. And Craig, I think we need to tell the people why we didn't
rerun
our 9/11 show.
Yeah, go ahead.
9/11, for some of us, was personal. For some, you know, most Americans, it really hit us hard. And yes, we did the show, our take on 9/11, and we normally put up a podcast. But like with the Budweiser commercial, we did not feel we should be promoting ourselves politically, because it is a political show, by reposting 9/11.
So pretty simple.
Did it live, and that was it.
Pretty simple. All right, okay. So you mentioned earlier tonight, Diane, there's two stories in the world right now, COVID and Afghanistan.
Right, I did one, you do the other.
You covered COVID, here we go to Afghanistan.
Yes.
Okay, the unaffordable cost of repeating history. The nice thing about the future is that it provides plenty of time to reassess our history, and I suspect that the future will not be so kind to our most recent history. The problem with history is that if we fail to learn from it, we will repeat it, and God knows we can and had better learn from what we've just been through. History, however, isn't the only thing we need to pay attention to moving forward, and unfortunately, recent history has failed to make much of an impression on those who clearly lack the situational awareness we're going to need in the very near future. What have we learned? Well, maybe nothing at all. Throughout our nation's history, there's been certain aspects of war that have always been a constant. From the Revolutionary War to the War of 1812 to the Civil War, World War I, World War II, and Korea, along with other military efforts in which we've been engaged, there has always been a way to identify the enemy at a glance. If we have learned anything or should have learned anything over the past 20 years, it's that our enemies in the theaters of war now are not wearing recognizable uniforms. We continue to wear the uniform of our country, and that makes our men and women more easily identifiable to those who want them dead. We wear camouflage so as to blend into the surrounding landscape, but our enemies are simply blending into the local culture. We can't tell an average goat herder from a local farmer or from a terrorist. 20 years ago, 19 terrorists with their sights set on killing as many Americans as possible simply blended in as student pilots, and they learned enough to steer some passenger jets into buildings. We never noticed them, but history, our own history, tells us that we should have noticed them because we used that same tactic ourselves once. Remember the Minutemen from the Revolutionary War? They didn't wear a uniform, Diane. They just blended into the local culture. And our enemy in that war never noticed them until it was too late.
No, and that's not the only time that happened. Remember, Vietnam sort of fell into that category, didn't it?
Well, it really did. If you think about it, the regular North Vietnamese Army was reasonably easy to identify, but not so much the Viet Cong, because as a guerrilla force, they simply blended into their culture. And while our history is replete with such examples we seem to have forgotten, uniforms aren't the only lesson we should have recently, or that we have recently ignored. Look, there's been a real shift in the mindset, and it's not helpful in any theater of war. It began in Korea, but grew like a cancer in Vietnam. You see, we never worried much about it in previous military operations. Collateral damage. Let's take the world wars as an example here. We won those wars because the prospect of collateral damage was expected. From the air, from the ground, we pounded our enemies relentlessly, and we leveled one town after the next. There were two basic ideas in play: overwhelm our enemies and win. In overwhelming our enemies, we made it preferable for civilians to engage on our side and on our behalf, rather than to go to work on behalf of the enemies. At the very least, such overwhelming might left little room for the notion of standing in our way. We won both of those world wars, and nations whose towns and cities were left in rubble are now among our strongest allies. That's what winning looks like. But beginning in Korea, spreading like a cancer in Vietnam, and now in our most recent theaters of war, we have become more concerned with not doing damage to neighborhoods or neighbors than we are concerned with winning. Our enemies will either lay their weapons down and surrender, or they won't, but the notion of winning the hearts and minds of a bunch of 7th century barbarians whose ideology masquerades as a religion, which is hell-bent on murdering any and all who will not submit to their will, is nonsense. Diane, our military exists overpowering the enemy. That's its job. Our military should never be in the business of trying to not upset or not offend our enemies?
Well, definitely not. And remember, we are the strongest military on the face of this earth. Our weaponry is the best on earth. And guess what? Now, the Taliban have some of it.
Well, isn't that a happy thought?
Isn't it, though?
Look, we do have the best weapons on earth, from our ships to our tanks, from our air superiority to our ability to vaporize the enemy by remote control. Our weapons in the theater of war are, by the very military definition of the word, offensive. And when we go on the offensive, by God, we should have every intention of offending our enemies to death. Mm-hmm. In the two world wars, had our military generals been as woke as some of them are today, we would be speaking German or Japanese east of the Missouri River. Okay? Look, we don't trust the Germans to provide security. We didn't trust the Germans to provide security for our allies in 1944, and we sure as hell didn't give the Japanese a list of Americans or our allies living on Pacific Islands in 1942. When MacArthur left the Philippines, he told those people, "I shall return," and he did return. In September of 1776, General George Washington was getting his butt kicked on Long Island, and he needed to get the hell out of there. He didn't tell his enemies when he would be leaving. His timeline was dictated by events on the ground. And when that time was right, as thick fog rolled in, Washington got all 9,000 colonists and all of our weapons off the island before the British knew what was happening. These are just some of the things, right? They're basic things. I'm not even sure those things rise to the level of military 101. We need to have a basic understanding of the nature of the enemy before we engage them in a war. Do they or do they not wear easily identifiable uniforms? And if not, how do we identify them? What's in it for us? If we're going to war, there had damn well better be something in it for us, or at the very least, for our allies, because if there's not, we shouldn't be there. And what's the goal? If there's no defined goal, we don't need to engage. And what defines victory? Diane, if we're going to war, we need to have a clear understanding of what victory looks like before we fire our first shot. And once we've achieved that victory, we need to be prepared for what comes next rather than just making it up as we go.
And that's the problem. With this administration, they've made things up. And when you make things up, it usually doesn't turn out very well, because you're not making them up for the betterment of anybody. You're just making it up to push forward a political agenda. And that's basically what happened with Afghanistan. You know, if we're going to be in war, fight. That's what our military is trained for. Fight, untie their hands, let them do what needs to be done. Get things settled down, and then leave.
Well, you know, there's always room for innovation in a theater of war, but that should be Plan C, not Plan A.
Yeah.
You know, if we engage in a war and we know how to identify the enemy, if we have a clear goal, there is something in it for us, if that's the case, or something for our allies, and we have clearly defined what a victory would look like, then we need to have a plan for the future of that region and our place in it. We have troops all over Europe. We have troops in Japan and in South Korea. And from those places, we are able to move with purpose to anywhere else while keeping the peace in those regions. If we don't intend to stay, we shouldn't go there to begin with. But we do need a plan for staying or for getting out, should it come to that. If we do have to leave, there's a checklist that needs to be followed. Get people out of harm's way, locals and our people. That's the first priority. After that, make damn sure that anything that might aid and abet the enemy is not left behind, and that includes everything from documents, computers, hardware, software, guns, bullets, aircraft, vehicles, and any damn thing else, right down to the last roll of toilet paper. The last to go should always be our intel assets and our military personnel. It's pretty simple, really, or at least it should be. General Washington got it in 1776, but given the events of a week or so ago, there's a rather pressing question that needs to be asked. How but stupid does one have to be to completely foobar a retreat? As it turns out, as far as threats go, systemic racism in our military, which doesn't actually exist, has nothing on a bunch of 7th century barbarians, which actually do exist. And while General Milley was trying to convince Congress that he's woke and reading books on white rage, those barbarians were plotting our demise. By leaving Afghanistan and by leaving as we did, we gave an entire country and its people to the terrorists from which they will launch attacks against other nations and against us. If the lessons of history weren't enough to prevent a disaster in Afghanistan, common sense should have been. But one thing is clear. We will either have to return to Afghanistan to once again go to war against terrorists and terrorism, or we will have clearly surrendered to them last week. Remember, the nice thing about the future is that it does provide plenty of time to reassess our history, and I suspect that the future will not be kind to our most recent history. The problem with history is that if we fail to learn from it, we will repeat it, and God knows we can and had better learn from what we've just been through. Every time history repeats itself, the price goes up, and the next time around, the price might just be too high to pay.
And I'm afraid that's what we're facing now. We are paying a tremendous price for what Biden did. We're a laughingstock on the world stage. Our allies can't trust us anymore, not with this administration, because they don't know if they'll get stabbed in the back. What Biden did was he not only stabbed our military in the back, but the Afghan people as well. And this is going to haunt us for a long time.
It really is. You're 100% correct. You know, there's plenty of lessons that we should have learned throughout history. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they were lessons that held us in good stead for a long time. But now those lessons are out the window because, well, they're not woke. Those lessons aren't woke. You know, you and I for years have complained about the rules of engagement.
Right. Right. You don't tie the military's hands. You go in, you do what you have to do. If it means there's going to be collateral damage, so be it. That's what war is. If you don't want collateral damage, don't go to war.
Well, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Diana, it was, what, 5-6 years ago. You and I, writing our pieces, doing this show, we talked on and on and on about the rules of engagement in Afghanistan. When the Obama regime made it illegal for our people in Afghanistan to have bullets in their guns.
Oh, God, yes.
Because, well, that might offend the enemy.
Yes.
Well, who the hell cares what a bunch of 7th century barbarians are offended by? There's I want them to be offended by enemy. Our weapons. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason they're the enemy. You know, look, I'm afraid because of what Biden has done, that enemy is now here. many, many of the Afghans who truly helped us have been left behind. We don't know who really has gotten on those planes. Yes, some are, of course, the people that helped us, and some are families that knew what was coming. But there's too many young men on those planes with no families, no anything, just young men of military age. There were too many of them on those planes. I looked at some of the pictures, you know, of the packed planes and things.
Yep.
I worry how many of them are not sleeper cells, tentacles of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Taliban themselves. This is a nightmare. We may not see the nightmare right now, but we're going to see it in months to come.
I don't know what you're so worried about, Diane. I mean, after all, we did bring them over here to military bases, and now we're just letting them wander off.
Yeah.
And we don't know who they are, okay? Yeah. And now we don't know where they are.
Well, they'll hook up with the illegals. What do you want? And they'll all, you know, vote Democratic and not be citizens.
That's not my primary concern. My primary concern is that, you know, they're going to wander off and engage in terrorism from inside this country.
They could actually be the ones that are going to wake up the sleeper cells.
I mean, look.
And don't think there are no sleeper cells here, guys, because there are.
Well, and what's the number now that we're getting? And who knows if you can trust it, but it's something like 95,000, right? Afghan refugees that we brought over here. Nearly all of them are unvetted, okay? Nearly all of them are unvaccinated.
And nearly all of them are men.
Yeah, and we you know, took them to military bases and put them up at military bases, but the Biden administration has made it clear to Border Patrol, ICE agents, and other law enforcement agencies, if you see them leaving the base, don't stop them, just let them go.
That's why I know some people are going to disagree with me, but our military needs to get involved here. We have flagrant violations of the Constitution being committed by an administration that took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution, to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the American people. They are doing neither.
Well, nothing. You know, if you live in an urban area near one of these bases that brought in these unvetted, unnamed, unknown Afghans, okay, and like Diane says, mostly men, mostly young men. If you live in one of those urban areas near one of those places, hide the women and children. If you live in a rural area near one of those places, hide the goats.
No, just the opposite. Let the guns be visible.
No, not the guns, the goats.
Oh, the goats.
You know, I mean, look, we don't know who these people are.
No.
Okay? And now we don't know where they are. Problem?
Yeah. Because what's happening is the ones that did help us, they're getting slaughtered over in Afghanistan. They're being brutalized, they're being tortured, and they're being killed. Is Biden saying anything about that? Is Psaki saying anything about that? Or Blinken? No, they're not. But the pictures are coming out daily. Videos are coming out of tortures going on. Women who were free in Afghanistan while we were there. There's now a whole hashtag thing about their clothes. In fact, I put up something on our site today. The beautiful clothes that the Afghan women were wearing while we were there, they're now encased in burqas, and they're fighting back. This is ridiculous. What Biden has done is surrender a country to the enemy.
But like I said early in the show, in the first segment of the show, Diane, it's all been taken care of because according to Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, quote, we've published a resolution advising the Taliban what steps they need to take in accordance with the international community, unquote.
You know what they're doing with that resolution? They're probably using it as toilet paper.
Well, if they want to do that, that's up to them. But there are certain places you do not want a paper cut.
I mean, this is...
I have standards, Diane. They're low, but I have them.
Oh, okay. I am just so... I'm beyond angry at what has happened. This is not the country I grew up in. This is not the country my father got two Purple Hearts fighting for. This is just not the same country anymore. And it's all because of this woke crap, this racist nonsense that only came back to light with Obama. This whole stuff started with Obama. This was a deliberate, calculated destruction of our country. We need our military. We need our military to I'm not going to say have a mutiny or anything like that, but we need our military to start having some tribunals.
Something.
Calling these generals to task. There's ways to do it that can just start a domino effect. I just wish somebody would start it.
I'll tell you, it needs to happen. Folks, you can get this commentary, The Unaffordable Cost of Repeating History, two places, thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link. In fact, if you go to rspradio1.com, you can get the link to Diane's op-ed, okay, The Unprotected Truth. You can get the link to my commentary, The Unaffordable Cost of Repeating History, and then you can share them both.
Hey, good idea. Okay?
That's the simplest way I know of to accomplish the goal.
Right.
Now, Friday, Diane, Friday's a talk show. It's a one-hour version of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a feeling, I don't know yet what we're going to talk about, but I've got a feeling there's going to be plenty of fodder out there for a one-hour talk show.
Well, Newsom will definitely be one of it.
Yeah, Newsom and the cheating scandal that's going to rear its ugly head. We know it's coming. By the way, in the last couple of minutes here of the show, do we have any updates, anything from California yet? Has Newsom gotten 80 million votes?
We're on the East Coast. You're in the Central Coast. The polls don't close to 11 o'clock EST, so we're still talking two and a half hours.
Well, I'm sure at some point tonight they will announce that Gavin Newsom has received 81 million votes.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, let's put it that way.
No, it wouldn't, right?
But yeah, we're going to keep an eye on that. Absolutely, we'll be talking about that on Friday. There may be more revelations coming regarding the Afghan situation. This COVID thing, the mandates, we're going to have to spend a little time talking about the mandate situation that's
right,
going on.
Craig, the only thing I can actually say about that is there are now protests going on in major cities across the country.
And until I see pitchforks and torches. The problem is when we protest something, we do it pretty genially. I mean, we march up and down the street, we carry some signs, and we clean up after ourselves when we leave.
Right.
You know, I mean, this isn't like the BLM and Antifa where, you know, they just burn businesses and cities to the ground and, you know, then get made heroes out of. That's not the way we protest.
No. not at all.
But folks, we've come to the end of the show tonight. We hope you enjoyed it. Once again, if you missed any part of it, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, be a pod person.
Yes.
With that, Diane, I think it's time for us to wrap this one up.
I think so too. So, nighty night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Friday.